What is up, everybody? This is another episode of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined once again by my good friend and co-host Tyler Rowe. And today, NFL free agency is underway. We have all sorts of fantasy relevant news to cover, new faces in new places, and also, a handful of trades that have gone down that we'll touch on as well. But, for this exercise, we're going to just talk about the signings that have happened, go position by position, have a big old chat about it. It's going to be a wonderful time. And we could start first at the quarterback position. The big name, obviously, being Malik Willis signing a deal to become the starter with the Miami Dolphins. I think that's going to be really fun. Definitely a lot to dig into as far as that goes and what that offense might look like in a post-Mike McDaniel world. But then beyond that, we got Tua Tagovailoa going to the Falcons. That could be kind of interesting. Is there any place that you would like to start with the quarterbacks? Is there one that really jumps out to you over the others?
I mean, I can knock out the Tua one real quick. I mean, Tua's pretty washed. I mean, watching him throw the football last season was a pretty sad state of affairs. Just doesn't have the arm strength. Injuries might have caught up with him. I don't know. He's had a lot going on. I hope he stays healthy. I hope he continues to make a little bit of cash. But to me, he's really just an insurance policy for Penix to make sure, in case he isn't able to come back, that they have some type of option. The only real quarterback of note is going to be Malik Willis and him getting that kind of starter money, starter contract from the Dolphins, and with two out of town, it leaves zero questions on what their plan is at quarterback. 3 years, $67.5 million. Great contract from Malik Willis. Listen, we always knew that he was good on the ground. That was why people got excited about him as a prospect. I was out on him as a prospect because I didn't think he was a very good thrower of the football. And Herms, being a thrower of the football tends to be a pretty important aspect of being a quarterback of the NFL, but
it helps.
We haven't necessarily seen a large sample size, but what I have seen lately out of Malik Willis would say that there has been some improvement from what I saw in college to what I saw, in his, short amount of times. I think he had like two games last season. One was like a full start. He looked better. He looked crisp. And if he's going to be this guy that's going to run, 8 to 10 times a game in terms of his rushing attempts, and he's an adequate passer, I mean, that's all we're asking. I mean, let's be real. Like, it's kind of what Jalen Hurts is. He's an adequate passer and he's a good runner. Now, I'm not saying Malik Willis is going to be Jalen Hurts. Don't get me wrong here. But for fantasy standpoint, I think I'm interested in Malik Willis here. He's the clear starter. He rushes the football and he appears to be an adequate passer. Even if he's a below average passer, if he still rushes 8 to 10 times a game, he's got to be on our radar. So he's the guy that right now I think I'll be drafting. I think I'm not going to be missing on Malik Willis. I see a guy who can run like this, and it's tough for me to stay away. So, I have him ranked anywhere yet. I mean, it's Tuesday, and we're recording in the midst of free agency. I've not really put together any type of dynasty rankings to adjust quite yet. I will do that this week. But just knowing what he's capable of doing on the ground, he's got to be on our radar, Herms, as kind of a late-round QB to take a swing at.
I completely agree. I think it's going to be really hard for opposing teams to stop the combination of extremely fast Malik Willis and extremely fast Devin Achane, possibly. You know what I mean? That duo alone is going to be an absolutely huge threat. And I think the other thing that's really exciting about that is the fact that the new coaching staff and front office in Miami is coming over from the Green Bay Packers. They're all very familiar with Malik Willis from their time over there. I think that's pretty neat. So I'm definitely with you. I would be very interested in taking stabs at Malik Willis, assuming that his ADP doesn't get a little bit too high, because I do know that some people will kind of warm up at some point. But if it stays low enough, could be a very good draft day deal. There's also the trade of Geno Smith going back to the New York Jets. I don't know how that's going to go necessarily. The Jets are in flux across the board, but do you have any optimism for him whatsoever?
You know, what did he say? They wrote me off, but I didn't write back. And now he's right back to where they wrote him off. Here's the thing. I don't know exactly what to think about Geno, because I thought Geno looked competent and at times good 2 years ago on the Seahawks. Okay. Now, he looked god-awful on the Raiders. It was bad, bad, bad. But we also know there's more going on with the Raiders there than just Geno Smith. The offensive line was in shambles. It made Geno look bad. It was just a bad I don't know if toxic's the right word, but dysfunctional. It's called a dysfunctional offense that I don't know Geno Smith has the talent or the skill to rise above. Now, not to say the Jets are in a much better place, but I do kind of look at the offensive line's better. Like, he gets an upgrade already on the offensive line at the Jets. Whatever you think about the Jets offensive line, it's better than the situation with the Raiders. And there's some decent weapons there. I think he's more of like, you know, a QB 24, QB 26 kind of guy. I'm not excited about Geno Smith, but I do think it's an upgrade. So if you're looking at like G Will and Breece Hall, you probably were hoping for more. But it's a lot better than what they rolled out last year. And I got to at least give him that.
Yeah, I think ultimately the biggest winner just is Garrett Wilson, because when it comes to his past with some of the quarterbacks he's had to work with, it's never been super great, but at least Geno is competent. At least we have seen him be pretty good. But you did mention Breece Hall. He got franchise tagged by the New York Jets, did not become a part of this running back free agent class, but there were some other big names that went some other places. Ken Walker getting a big deal to go play in Kansas City with the Chiefs. Travis Etienne, kind of a surprise a little bit to me, going with the New Orleans Saints 4-year contract. Not really sure what that does for Alvin Kamara. Then Rico Dowdle going to the Steelers. Tyler Algier going to the Cardinals. A lot of different stuff, a lot of interesting names, even some that I didn't mention. Is there one in particular that was maybe more surprising than any of the others? And do you have any favorites?
I don't think any of this was too surprising. You know, I think the Chiefs and the Saints were definitely two locations where we had slotted in them signing a decent, you know, free agent running back here. The holes were vast. It was obvious. I mean, Kenneth Walker, I think I at least want to start there. I was a big fan of the signing. I actually thought it was going to be Etienne to the Chiefs, but it ended up being Walker. I thought they would take this swing here. It's great, man. I think you and I are going to be right back in on Walker after taking the L last season. It was like, it's funny how the season ended, because like a lot of times, like it's that like halo effect where you kind of like remember what you've done for me lately. And everyone remembers Kenneth Walker as a Super Bowl winning MVP. So like, but like people don't remember that, like you could barely start him in fantasy pretty much the entire season long after Herms and I were going off about how he could be a low end RB1. So
long journey,
seen a lot of ups and downs, but what we loved about Walker is the talent. He's in a much better situation. There's literally nobody behind him that I'm even slightly concerned about. I think more importantly, while maybe the Chiefs took a step back, Mahomes is still Mahomes. He's one of the most elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And typically you see a lot of defenses play the pass. So what does that mean? It opens things up for the running back. Well, historically, there really hasn't been a running back of note. The corpse of Kareem Hunt, an injured Pacheco, there hasn't really been a talented running back there to take advantage of these teams who are not stacking the box, who are dropping men back. So I'm pretty excited about Walker. I think I'm going to be right back where I was again, thinking he's going to be low-end RB1. Lee Charbonnet is not there to take the touches this year, but I'm excited about Walker. I think he'll be in my top 15 without question.
I feel exactly the same way. It's going to be fun to double down on it and see how it goes, but it should turn out a lot better this time. And I think one of the reasons it's going to do that, on top of everything that you said, is the fact that the Chiefs reunited with Eric Bieniemy at offensive coordinator, because one of the issues with them was just having an explosive run game really at all. And I think that that is going to be something they can get back to. If we look at the success that the Bears had last year under Ben Johnson, that running backs coach, guess who it was, folks? Eric Bieniemy. I think that's going to be a great fit. The other thing that I thought was kind of interesting with the Chiefs doing this is that it takes them out of the Jeremiah Love sweepstakes in the NFL draft. And I think that is going to be a very big piece of the puzzle that we still have yet to see as well. So there's an extra layer of both NFL free agency and NFL draft stuff that play with that one.
ETN, can we shift?
Let's get into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. I mean, this is the other. These two highlight everything for me. Travis Etienne, you know, he was one of those players where we saw some great things early on in the career. I think he was RB3 finish in 2023, and the wheels fell off in 2024. But he went right back at it in 2025 with an RB10 finish, and he was rewarded for it. The Saints, they were hurt last year, but I do like the direction the offense is heading. They got a good head coach there, good offensive mind. I think Travis Etienne is in play squarely as a low-end RB1, possibly kind of high-end RB2. I think I'd prefer Walker over Etienne, but I'm probably going to find myself ranking both these guys pretty much, you know, very similarly within a couple spots of each other. Kamara got to be relegated to some pass-catching role. I mean, that's just apparent. It was already kind of trending that way anyways. And any hope we had for Devin Neal or Kendre Miller is pretty much out the door entirely, as this signals, you know, a four-year, $52 million contract. ETN is pretty much saying, hey, this is our guy. No, Kamara's probably got another year. I would think, I don't know what's going to happen here. If they do keep him around, he's still a good pass catcher, and I think he can kind of continue that role. But, I mean, Travis Etienne's definitely in a spot to be the bell cow. 60, 65% of the snaps, no questions asked. Both these guys did a lot for themselves in free agency, landed in some offenses that had a big hole at the running back position, and they are there ready to plug it.
Yeah, you don't give somebody that size a bag and then have Alvin Kamara take too many touches. It is very bad news for him, but we'll see how that goes in the grand scheme of things. With you, it is going to be a fun fit, especially if they keep improving based on what we saw with Tyler Shuck. Toward the end of last year, I actually think the Saints got pretty good, so could be interesting there. One more that I just wanted to quickly touch on was Kenneth Gainwell going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think it's an interesting sort of fit with him and Bucky Irving there, but my only concern is that they're both very small. If you look at that, they're both like well under 6 feet. They're not much over 200 pounds weight wise either. It's like, that's going to be kind of weird, but I don't know, just something that kind of popped into my head as far as that goes. But any other names like Dowdle, Algier, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gainwell is interesting. I think he slots really well into that Rashad White role. He's a good pass blocker, a good pass catcher. He'll probably continue to do that for the Buccaneers. J.K. Dobbins is interesting. I think he got 2 years, $20 million. I mean, he, in terms of, you know, what he's getting on a yearly basis, he's the third highest paid running back. I think this, and this was actually, I tried to guess where these running backs would land, and obviously I got a lot wrong, but this was one I got right. He was the starter for the majority of the season. I think this is not a good thing for Harvey. If I could get a first round pick for Harvey, I would trade Harvey away. To me, this is, signals a very clear committee between J.K. Dobbins, who was the lead back until he got hurt, and then Harvey. Harvey always profiled as a committee back for me. He was never going to be a bell cow. He was never going to be a quote-unquote starter. So J.K. Dobbins getting 2 years, $20 million. I mean, it's, and he got $8 million guaranteed, just about half of that. To me, this is the Broncos saying, hey, we got ourselves a committee here with Harvey and Dobbins. And that's pretty much what we got with these other running backs, too. Now, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on Rico Dowdle and Tyler Algier to an extent, because I see Rico Dowdle and Tyler Algier get about the same exact contract in a lot of ways. 2 years, $12 million. That signals committee back to me. That signals like, hey, you have a role, but you're clearly not a bell cow whatsoever. How do you see Rico Dowdle slotting in with Jaylen Warren now? And this also doesn't signal good news for Caleb Johnson. Running back room take, your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. I knew they had to address the position with Gainwell leaving, and I was kind of nervous that they were going to bring him back, because I did want somebody that was a bit more well-rounded in their skill set. Dowdle makes a ton of sense, especially because of the overlap that he had with Mike McCarthy in Dallas. To have that sort of continuity at play, they're already very familiar with each other. Bad for Caleb Johnson, though. I think at this point, if you're still holding on to that hope, like, bro, Not good. I think he's kind of toast. I will say, though, quickly about Algier, James Conner's still old, and that is still going to be a big problem. I do think Algier still carries some appeal to me, but, man, not great for, oh, what's his name?
Trey Benson.
Yes.
I'm with you, man. Same thing. It's over. Yeah, it's over for Trey Benson, guys. That's where I'm at, too. This is, if Conner's healthy, it's an Algier-Conner backfield. The only way that Benson has any hope here is if Algier is hurt as well. I think if like Connor gets hurt, this is like 60, 65% Algier and Benson's on the bench, man. So I think this is like, you know, they're trying to get one more year out of Connor and they want to rest him a little bit and they're going to give some to Algier, but this is a replacement for Benson, as I think they've identified he's clearly not the guy here. The last player I think I'd mention is Isaiah Pacheco. Got signed by the Lions. Not that Pacheco is necessarily on my radar, but what this does signal is, you know, for a couple years there in Gibbs's career, it was kind of like, what do they call it? Sonic and Knuckles between the two of them. And then this past year, when the Lions weren't as successful on offense, we saw them lean on Gibbs a bit more, him getting more touches, him getting more snaps. With the signing of Pacheco, what that signals to me is they want to continue that usage we saw in 2025 with Jahmyr Gibbs, cementing him as a top two, top three back in the NFL. And Pacheco is going to more come in. You know, he's not a pass catcher. He's a terrible pass. I shouldn't say terrible. Probably better pass catcher than me, Herms. But in the NFL, Pacheco is not known for his ability to catch the football. But that said, we love that because that means Gibbs is going to get more of the pass catching. Pacheco going to the Lions is the signal that I needed to see to say, hey, what we saw in 2025, that uptick in usage from Gibbs that drove him to the top of the running back list is now cemented. And there's zero concerns about Gibbs's workload maintaining from 2025 to 2026.
We have some other players who are big fantasy winners at other positions that we have to get to on the other side of our commercial break. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast. Yo, yo, yo. How's it hanging? C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast here to ask you a question. Have you wanted to get in on some NFL action, but don't live in a state that has a sports book? Well, we have great news. Our newest partner, Novig, is America's number one sports prediction market, offering better odds than sports books in over 35 states. If you're looking to tail some of our plays for the NFL playoffs and all sorts of other sports, new players on Novig can get a free month of an FTN GOAT subscription when they sign up and use promo code FTN with their first purchase. Plus, you'll get 50% off your first purchase up to $25 in Novig cash. All you gotta do is download the Novig app, enter code FTN before making your first purchase of $50 or less, and the discount will automatically apply. Also, your promo code for that free month of an FTN GOAT tier will be in your email inbox before you know it. What a deal! We look forward to having you play on Novig with us this year. Be sure to check it out and use that promo code FTN.
Welcome back, y'all. This is still the Crossing Routes Podcast, and we are still talking about what has gone down in 2026 NFL free agency so far. We're going to move over to wide receiver, and look, there are a lot of names that we could get to, but it does make the most sense to start with the guy that got the biggest bag, Alec Pierce, going back to the Indianapolis Colts. I'm pretty surprised that he ended up getting this big of a bag based off the fact that he doesn't really have a ton of production in his past, but just based off where the receiver market is, does kind of make sense from that standpoint. And the fact that the Colts then moved on from Michael Pittman Jr., trading him away to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think opens up some more opportunities, maybe for more volume from Pierce. But I want to know from your standpoint how you're kind of looking at this offense now.
Yeah, man, that's a great question, because all of this signals more for the pieces that are not on the headline. So Alec Pierce, I mean, he's been in the league for 4 years. Wide receiver 63, wide receiver 73, wide receiver 43. And then last year when he broke out, wide receiver 28. Now, good for him. He definitely had some games. Like, dude was absolutely running down the field. But I think he's more of a one-trick pony. I'm not necessarily impressed with him as a wide receiver, like as a full wide receiver running all the routes on the field. Happy he got the bag. Always happy to see the dudes get the bag because you're one play away from it all being over. But yeah, he's on fantasy radar, but there's always going to be somebody in a draft room more excited about Alec Pierce, because unless you're in a super deep league, you're probably not trying to start Alec Pierce every week and trying to guess when those bombs are going to be coming. Mm-hmm. That is just not a game that I want to be playing a part of. So yeah, like he had a wide receiver, you know, he finished as a wide receiver 1 in week 18, wide receiver 4 in week 16, 13 in week 13, and then he had a couple like other wide receiver finishes, but like he had multiple duds where he finished as the wide receiver 45, 68, 44, 66, 88. Like it's not the kind of player that you want to have in fantasy. Like, yeah, he can boom in your flex spot, but if you're in a regular 12 team league, like you can't be taking those L's like that and expect to win a championship. So I'm really not that interested in Alec Pierce. If anybody wanted a first for Pierce, I would send him away in an absolute heartbeat. I wouldn't even think twice. Happy for the guy, but there's really not a lot of interest here. Pittman going, you know, the trade, you know, well, I guess, hey, I mean, I always like to the resident Steelers fan. I mean, like, this is good. I mean, DK Metcalf, they need something. They couldn't keep trotting Calvin Austin out there as their second wide receiver, man. This is great for you guys once you figure out who's going to be throwing them the football. Am I right?
I think it makes a lot of sense. It will be nice to have at least another very competent receiver opposite DK Metcalf. But like you're saying, if it's Aaron Rodgers, who cares? If it's I don't even know who it's going to be. I want it to be a good quarterback, please. Just pretty please.
They complement each other well, so I really like that. But what this really signals to me is like Pittman's out of town. Okay. Alec Pierce, I'm not in on. This is great for Josh Downs. This is great for Josh Downs. And this is obviously good for Tyler Warren, as I think this is going to consolidate targets. Is Pierce is not really a target earner on this offense. Okay. He's not a guy that's like, you know, getting a ton of targets. I mean, he had 84 targets was his career high last season. Okay. This guy is catching, never caught 50 balls in his career. Okay. Could he do it this season? Sure. But I feel like a lot of times things are always split between Pittman and Downs, and you just never knew what the hell was going to happen. With Pittman out, like, I'm back in on Josh Downs. Like, I would rather, I'm going to have Josh Downs ranked ahead of Alec Pierce in 2026. I already had Tyler Warren pretty high, so it doesn't change anything. He looked great when there was competent QB play. But all this Colts stuff, we're diving pretty deeper on the Alec Pierce side. But I'm going Josh Downs over Alec Pierce in 2025 or 2026. So things are great, man. I love this for Josh Downs. He's going to eat up targets.
It'll be a lot of fun to see how that works out for all of them. And it is also nice that the Colts brought back Daniel Jones on the transition tag whenever he is ready and fully healthy, recovering from his injury at the end of last year. It is going to be swell. But obviously, we got some other names to talk about. Mike Evans leaving Tampa Bay was kind of sad, but good for him getting the bag. Romeo Doubs shipping up to Boston's pretty fun. And favorite of the show, Wandale Robinson, reuniting with Brian Daboll down with the Tennessee Titans, I think is also pretty cool. But is there one place that you would like to start over the others? Is there one of these sort of second-tier signings that excites you the most?
I mean, Romeo Doubs, I'm not excited about this. I mean, he is just a decent wide receiver, a good, not great wide receiver. Could never distance himself, really, in my opinion, on the Packers. And there wasn't a lot of talent on the Packers either to distance himself from. I think he's walking into the same kind of wide receiver room where they got a bunch of decent wide receivers. And if you ask me, is Doubs going to be able to really separate himself to what they got there? I don't know. Doubs has never been like a 1,000-yard wide receiver. He's like more of a 700-800-yard range guy. Could Drake May feed him the targets to get there? Sure. But I also question, like, is he talented enough to really separate himself in this wide receiver room? It's, you know, it's maybe not some big names, but I think some underrated names, some young guys that I think could take a step up. So Doubs is a guy that's probably a candidate to be overdrafted. Unfortunately, I feel the same way about Wandale Robinson. Like, he's good in short areas of the field, kind of like a PPR monster, but I have questions about Cam Ward in general. I think he's going to be better for real life football than he is going to be for actual footballs. I just don't have a lot of faith in the Titans offense moving forward. So those are like the next two guys in terms of what they got paid behind Pierce. So, and before I move on to Mike Evans, anything to add there from the Doubs or Wandale perspective?
With Doubs, it's basically just he is a better version of Kayshon Boutte. So I think that at least solving the puzzle from that direction, like, it's good for them. So that'll make the offense function better, et cetera. I think that was a good move. Probably way better for real life football. But I think Wandale Robinson still has a chance of being good. I get being worried about Ward, but it's also going to be in an offense with the guy who was there with him in New York with the Giants, who like schemed him up and figured out how to get the most out of him. So I'm still a little bit encouraged there. And the fact that until we see what the Titans do with the number 4 overall pick, like, they might end up taking a receiver. They are going to draft someone. That is something that I think a lot of people need to remember is going to be likely to happen, but they could also maybe pivot and do the Jeremiah Love thing. There has been a lot of steam behind that too. We'll just have to see. But yeah, that's really all I got as far as those dudes.
Mike Evans, I'm excited about this one. I mean, 3-year contract is a little crazy. I don't know if we're getting 3 years out of Mike Evans, but he fills a pretty big hole. He's going to play that prototypical X wide receiver. He's good in man. He's good off the line. You can't press him. I mean, he looked good when he was healthy last year. I still think, you know, are his days of being a top 12 wide receiver gone? Possibly, but Brock Purdy can deal. Kittle's out presumably for the year. I love Juwan Jennings, but, you know, he's definitely not an alpha wide receiver, and Pearsall can't stay healthy. This is a great spot for him. I'm excited. I think he's a wide receiver too going forward. I mean, I'd rather draft Mike Evans than any of these other wide receivers that we've talked about, hands down.
It's the best landing spot. It's the best offense, and he is the best receiver of all of them. I'm definitely with you. Obviously not a free agent signing, but DJ Moore to the Bills. Anything on that?
I like it, dude. I like it. Here's the thing is, something was going on last year, and like, this is my take on it, and we can dive deep on this another time. And we've kind of mentioned it where I think Caleb Williams is clearly a very talented quarterback. But I still think he has a bit to figure out as a passer, particularly with his timing, okay? And DJ Moore is a kind of wide receiver where timing matters. We saw some big plays where they were able to connect towards the end of the season, one of the biggest ones to memory. But there's definitely times when I think DJ Moore's frustration was showing. It's not a surprise that Caleb Williams had his completion percentage was one of the lowest in the NFL, if not the lowest, in terms of starting quarterbacks, and just wasn't working out over there. So I think DJ Moore still got plenty left in the tank, and now you pair him with Josh Allen, and there's a giant hole in that wide receiver room, and he's clearly the best wide receiver. I think he's going to complement and run pretty well with Khalil Shakir. So I like DJ Moore. I'll probably be ahead of market on DJ Moore. I'm not necessarily going to cement him as a wide receiver two, top 24 wide receiver, but I right off the rip here, man, like maybe it's a hot take, but I would probably this next year, I'd probably rather have DJ Moore than Alec Pierce or Wandale or Dupes.
I think it makes sense. It also reunites him with Joe Brady when he was the offensive coordinator in Carolina for that brief spell. So we've at least seen them work together before. Not everybody was the biggest fan of the usage when DJ Moore was down there in Carolina, of course, though. But it's a different circumstance, different quarterback. Hey, it's Josh Allen. How bad could that possibly be? I'm with you. It is pretty exciting. I think people, once they think about it a little bit more, will warm up the idea. DJ Moore is old, but it is a good team and a good spot. But when it comes to tight end, our last thing, we really only have to cover one player because all the other guys that got free agent contracts are mostly blockers. But Isaiah Likely getting a bag to go play under Harbaugh again with the New York Giants. I think that that could be a pretty fun thing. We've always kind of theorized what could happen if Isaiah Likely got a full-time opportunity. Is this the full-time opportunity? Is Theo Johnson just cast to the wayside now? What are sort of your thoughts about looking at the Giants now with Likely in tow?
It sucks because I like Theo Johnson. I thought he was in a prime spot to take a step forward, man. I'm not, 3 years, $40 million, it's pretty serious. I'm not willing to say like Isaiah Likely is there and he's going to completely take Theo Johnson's role. I think there'll be room for both of them. Certainly this moves Theo Johnson off fantasy radar, but maybe Isaiah Likely hasn't been a full-time starter because he can't do all the things that a tight end needs to do. I think there's got to be something to that. Is he a weapon, and does the Giants need weapons? Yes, I think he could be a pretty solid fantasy signing, but I am pumping the brakes a little bit on Likely as he's not necessarily a guy that, I don't know, man. It's just something about it. It's just he's never been able to truly break out. Even when Andrews was out, we're like, all right, this is going to be our tight end handcuff, the rare one. And like, it hasn't always come to fruition. We get super excited about him. He kills it. And then it's like crickets again. So I think he's in a better spot. Clearly has an opportunity to be a starter. There's not a Mark Andrews ahead of him, but I'm also probably going to pump my first reaction here. So I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit. Is he going to be a full-time tight end? I'm not sure yet. The money might specify. Yeah. But you also got to think to yourself, 3 years, $40 million is a lot of money. Kate Otten, 3 years, $30 million. Charlie Kohler. Some of you might not even know who that is. 3 years, $24 million. Daniel Bellinger, former Giant, 3 years, $24 million. So it's like when you put it in context, like you can say, yeah, 3 years, $40 million, ton of money. Tight ends are just getting paid out here, Herms. Tight ends are just getting paid out here, making great cash because they do a lot of different things on the field that don't always translate to fantasy points. And that's fine. It's football. Tight end is a crazy hard position. So for me, people are going to look at the contract and be like, oh, he's going to be the starter. Well, do you expect Daniel Bellinger, Charlie Kohler to be like smash starters? No, you don't. I think it's kind of a poor thing to just look at a contract and decide he's going to be a starter because of it. I think it's a signal for sure. But for me, Likely is a guy that I'm just going to be a little bit cautious of as we get up to the year. Kind of want to hear some drum beats because I think Theo Johnson is still good and might have a role.
Definitely. And there's also still the matter of what the Giants do in the draft now. With Wandale Robinson leaving, they are probably going to have to add receiver at some point. May not be day one, but maybe they could be in the sweepstakes on day two. But if they draft somebody who maybe is a bit more of a development kind of piece rather than somebody that can plug and play right away, Likely probably becomes the second best pass catching option on the team. At that point, we could get a little bit more stoked, but there is still so much more that we have to see unfold, which is why we're going to cut it off here. Continue to follow us on our journey to fantasy season returning this summer at ftnfantasy.com. We always have tons of cool stuff coming out. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Crossing Routes Pod. We'll be back next week. But until then, adios. Think about how far we come just to say goodbye. And staying up and